1 this evening, and we want to make you very welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And I'm not going to take no time up, and before Jeff and Suzanne comes, I don't want them to feel that they've only 5 minutes. I want them to tick as long as they feel to tick. As long as we're out for 12, Father. But don't skip it short. I don't need to preach about it. There's not enough time and it's not important. You share your testimony. Nothing like a testimony, and every one of us needs to have a testimony for going to meet Jesus Christ. And whether Jeff or Suzanne comes first, I want them to come at this time. And you may be seated, praise God. On the Lord's blessing.
That last song was my testimony, and I could go and sit down again. Really, mercy did really rewrite my life. I want to just say that I'm honoured that I can stand here tonight and tell you about my Saviour. And just that, I would like to turn to a verse of scripture, and it's found in John chapter 15, verse 16. And it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." Well, really, I grew up being sent to Sunday school and church, the Free Presbyterian Church, and I thank my mum and dad for sending us to the church when we were able to hear the gospel. Around the age of 8 or 9, my mum and dad separated. And Dad, he would have lifted us on a Sunday, and I can remember 6 o'clock used to come, and I used to like to get my sisters and my brother dropped home, because Dad and I would have headed off to the Whitewell on our own, or maybe another church service. And I really enjoyed getting that time with Dad by myself. So a few years passed, and it was around the age of 13 I started to go to the Elam, and I really enjoyed the services there, and I really enjoyed the youth especially. But also at that time in my life, I met a boy in school. And as much as he kept telling me he would come to these services with me, he always let me down. So I can remember crying to my dad about this one night and saying, every time he said he's going to come, I'm sitting waiting and he never comes. But Dad said to me, you know, he says, you can't have one foot with the world and one foot with the Lord. He says, you need to make a decision. So I continued to see Darren, and that continued then with a life without God or church in it. And that also led then to just being out of high school and having my son Jamie. That was a very difficult time, and really without the love and support of my mum and dad at that time, I don't know how I'd have done it. But we got through anyway, and around about the age of 18, Darren and I separated, so that just left really Jamie and my own, sort of in a house of our own. And although it was hard at that age, I was actually grateful that it was just Jamie and me. I was happy. And you know, I can remember at that time, Jamie started into primary school, and there was one night he was going to a school trip, and he needed spending money and he needed a packed lunch. And I really didn't have any money. And I can remember thinking, what are we going to do? Can't send him to school with no money. And I really believe, you know, even at that time, I forgot God. God hadn't forgot me. And a rap came to my door that night at 10 o'clock. And my dad was there. And he never said anything. He just put his hand in his top pocket and he handed me £10. I just said, Dad, how did you know I needed that? And he just pointed up. So I knew that was God, even then. So a few years passed again, and I said, Dad started asking me to go back to church services with him. And as I thought I was going out of love and respect for my dad, as Mum once told me, regardless of the reason we think we go to church, the seed's still being sown. So after a few services, I really started to question my life and what would happen, you know, if I died, but where would I go? But I remember going to a service in Donnacloney Orange Hall, and I really don't remember what all was said in that service, but I knew there was something different. There was a speaker from Africa, I can't remember his name at the time, Tommy. And I couldn't explain it, but I cried the whole way through that service, and my sister Debbie was with me. And I knew there was something in the service. Now I know it was the presence of God, but really at that time I didn't know what it was, but I just knew there was something in that service. So I came out crying. Of course, Debbie, she just thought I wasn't wise. But at that stage then, I had got a job in Lisburn. I was a manager in Lisburn, and the girl that would have been my manager in Banbridge, because she came down to this job in Lisburn, the two of us started to get more friendly, and we started going to lunch together. But she said to me one day, you know, Suzanne, she says, every time me and you are in our lunch, all you talk about is God. And I really wasn't aware I was doing it. So my mum had actually said the same thing to me a few weeks earlier. She'd said, you know, any time I'm talking to you, you just seem to be wanting to be talking about God. So I thought that was strange, but to say then, Jamie Lee came to me one night and he asked me to read him a story, and he gave me the story of Noah's Ark. And I didn't even know really that he had the story. But I can remember reading that story and thinking about how God was telling Noah to do something and how Noah obeyed his voice. And that really stuck with me to think, you know, God was talking to him and he heard him. So, continued on anyway, and I can remember actually coming to a service here in the Orange Hall. And through the service again, very emotional through the service. Every time anybody preached, I really felt they were preaching at me. I thought, they're not talking to nobody else in that service, they're not happening talking to me. But whenever we came out of the service, Dad had said I'd be going to his for a cup of tea, and I was in my own car, on my own. And I can remember I drove from here to Banbridge, and how I drove I don't know, because I was crying that hard, and all I could think about was, if you ever killed right this instant and next, and you're going straight to hell. And he said, I thought, you know, your dad knows that the Lord's dealing with you and you're not listening. I thought, how's my family going to cope with that? No one had a choice to make and I didn't do it. So I got a phone call that night again from the same girl in work, and she says, you know, Suzanne, you've been awfully in my mind lately, and she says, I believe you're under conviction. And I can remember laughing and thinking, like, what does that even mean? So she explained what that meant, and really whenever she explained it to me, I thought, that's it, you know, I can't sleep, and no matter what I go to do, all I can think about is God, you know, and if he came back, where am I going? So at this stage of my life, I was engaged to be married, and John had friends coming over at the weekend from America, and he wanted me to go and meet them, but because I was feeling the way I was, I didn't want to go, and I thought, how am I going to get out of this, you know? So I thought to myself, well, I have a good idea, I'll phone my dad and I'll say, Dad, I'll take you out for your dinner on Saturday night. And I thought that'll get me out of having to go to the bar and having to be drinking. So I phoned Daddy, and of course Daddy, he said he had plans, which he never normally does at the weekend. So I can remember actually setting the phone down and having a conversation with God and saying, like, Lord, if I'd have been out with my dad now on Saturday night, I wouldn't have been in the bar. And I wouldn't have been anywhere where there was drink. And here all of a sudden I have no reason not to be going. I ain't going to have to go. But I can remember it was actually a bar down in Scarva here. And I can remember going. And really from the outset I didn't want to go. And from when I didn't, I just couldn't get paid. I just felt I don't want to be here. This is not where I want to be. And all I could think is, if God came back this instant, you're going to be left behind. He's not taking you. And it disturbed me that much that I just had to get up and come home. I thought, I can't stay here. So I can remember I went to, I'd already told Dad that I would go to church with him on that Sunday morning. And Dad came and collected Jamie Lee and I. And whenever we got up to the service, Billy was preaching. And he preached in Noah's Ark. And I can remember he said, there's someone in this service today. And he said, you've come to the crossroads in your life. And he said, you need to make a decision where you're going to go. And he says, there's one thing, he says, your friends will laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out. And that really stuck with me. So I can remember thinking at that stage, this is it, I have to get right with God, I can't leave here today. But as the service went on, a voice was telling me, don't do it today, don't do it today, you know, just wait, don't be doing nothing yet. But at the end of the service, again, I was crying, and Dad came over to see if it was all right and was ready to go. And as I went to get up, I honestly could say I felt I physically couldn't move. And I just kept shaking my head to Dad, and Dad said, "Are you all right?" And he's me, "I can't leave here. He's me, I need to get right with God. He's me, I need to get saved." So Daddy called Tommy, and Tommy prayed, and he led me to the Lord. And you know, the Lord really, really blessed me. That was in September, 7th of September 2004. So I was saved 16 years last Saturday, by God's grace. And you know, I really thank the Lord for what he's done in my life. He really did. At that stage, as I say, I was engaged to be married. My life done a complete 180 degree turn. Everything I knew changed, and it changed for the better. Gary, he took me that relationship ended a few months after I got saved. Gary took me to the White Whale, and I made a whole new circle of friends there. Something in the White Whale, I give them, you know, I started out in my Christian walk, and really I was attending the White Whale at least four times a week. If it wasn't a Bible study, I was at a prayer meeting. If it wasn't a prayer meeting, it was a youth service. And I really be thankful for that time in my life, because I got myself a really good circle of friends. I had loads of fellowship, and I really was enjoying life. And I was just saying to Jeff the other day, you know, whenever I would look back at my life, I could honestly say that that probably was the most happiest time in my life, because even with the fellowship that I had with my Christian friends, it was good, clean, honest fun, and you really enjoyed it. And I really didn't feel that I had that, because you were going out in the world, and the things you were doing in the world, it lasted for a few hours. You're back home the next morning again. But I knew what I had found with the Lord was going to last. But it wasn't long after I got saved, and one Friday night, I was remembering I was at a loose end, and I thought myself, I'd phone my dad and Gary to see what they're doing. And they were in the flat, so I said, "I'll take us up something to eat." And I went to Friar Tuck's to get something to eat. And I can remember as I was waiting to get it, I just happened to be standing and looked across the road, and I seen all my mates going into the Imperial, and that's a bar that I would have drank in. And I can remember the devil saying to me, "How sad are you on a Friday night? There's all your mates over there going into the Imperial." He says, "And you're going to be sad. You're going to go and sit with your dad and your brother on a Friday night." And I popped my head down, and the next thought came into my head is, remember the night you were that drunk you fell out of a taxi? And I felt the tears well, and I thought myself, praise the Lord, with your help I'll never be in a state like that again.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, I'm thankful, you know, because the devil will come to sort of try to distract you. But I'm really glad that he's brought me this far. Kelly, a girl I met then at Whitewell, she had said to me one night, "We're going on a blind date." So at this stage, I had sort of give up. I was happy. I saved about 2 years at this stage. I was happy with it just being me and Jamie Lee, and wasn't really thinking about a relationship. And so I kind of thought to myself, "Lord, all the ones I've picked so far has been no good, so I'm going to have to leave the one, whatever one I get now is going to be him to find it." So Kelly said we'd go on this blind date, and came on that day and work the girls and work, we're all keeping me going, and "What are you going to wear?" And I was like, "This is just a bit of fun. I've just been down ice for the crack. We're going to Thunderland." So as soon as I seen Jeff and we could talk, he'd arrive in this lovely big BMW, and I thought, this is a good start. The Lord's doing a good one so far. But I can remember getting into the car, and everybody was talking among themselves, but I just remembered after Jeff talking about maybe 20 minutes, I can remember actually thinking, you know what, I think he'll do for me, you know, because I just thought, he's a goer. Because I had Jamie Lee so young, I was in the house of my own from I was 16, always had to do, just very independent really from a young age. And Jeff just seemed to be the type of person that if he said he was going to do something, he was going to do it. And I thought, this is the type of person. He's in the same wavelength as what I'm on. So after dating a few times, we got engaged after 2 years, and we were married in 2008. Then the Lord blessed us with our wee daughter Olivia in 2011. And I remember, you know, because I had Jamie Lee so young, whenever we started out marriage, I was kind of happy. It had just been Jeff and I, and Jeff had always said he would like a child. So I can remember I went to a prayer meeting one night, and Jeff, he wasn't there, but I went up to get prayer for Jamie Lee. Billy had called if anybody needed prayer for anything, and I can't even remember what the situation was with Jamie, but I remember I went up to get prayer for Jamie. And when whenever I told Billy what I was up there for, Billy started to pray, but all of a sudden he started to pray about Hannah and the Bible, and about Hannah crying unto the Lord for a child. You know, it was only about a month before that that Jeff and I had actually had the conversation and said, you know, we'd like to start to try for a child. So I remember going home that night and telling Jeff, you know, something really strange happened the night in the prayer meeting. I never really thought much more of it, but I remember thinking at the time it's strange, and it was actually the next month I found out I was pregnant with Olivia. So I really do feel blessed that God gave me a second chance with a new family, and it's lovely just having it. But also, my mum has given her life back to the Lord just over a year ago, and she's such an encouragement to me. And you know, I really enjoy the fact now that the majority of our conversations is about our Saviour, and it's just lovely. And really, I can remember my dad telling me at one stage that he couldn't live a day without the Lord in his life. And at that time I wasn't saved, and I can remember thinking, like, how can that be? How can you even have a conversation with this person? You know, how could you not live without someone that you can't see? But I can honestly say from the bottom of my heart, I wouldn't want to face the things that I've faced without him, and I don't know how anybody does. But really, I just thank the God every day that he saved me and he's kept me. It's only by his grace and mercy that I can stand here and tell you tonight that I love him from the very bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
And just as that, I would like to read another verse of scripture, and it's just found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, just with that, I'll just hand over to Jeff.
That's a hard act to follow. I doubt Guy and Suzanne were reading my notes.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen. That's how I know it's of God. But this is the title of my testimony. We've sung it, and Suzanne's already testified of it. My mistakes, God turned into miracles. My tears, he turned into joy.
Amen.
My past forgiven.
Amen.
A new name was written when mercy rewrote my life. Amen. I wonder, could you please turn 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just before I start, I just want to testify to my dad. I was talking to him in Argo, and he thanks you for your prayers. He's back to work in the morning. Praise God for that. Right. My name is Jeff Annett. I'm from a wee place called Derry Boy. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. My parents sent me faithfully to church, Sunday school, youth fellowship, BB, whether I liked it or not, I was sent. And I had no excuse, but during my early years, I took no heed at all. Growing up, I took no heed in the gospel. Even all through all them sermons, all the meetings, I had no time for it. Sadly to say, I had no time. And plus, we don't want to give the devil the glory tonight. Glory belongs all unto the Lord. Again, as I was saying, as I grew up, I went to school and whatnot. All in my head was work. Working for farmers. No interest in school. But I had a good life. My mum and dad looked after us. We didn't know much, but all we ever needed. My mum and dad, I often heard my dad at night praying. But That's just, it's amazing grace. He never gave up. And I'm here tonight to testify. His prayers weren't in vain.
Amen.
As I grew up, went through school, left school, did a bit of plumbing, went to technical college, done plumbing. In 1998, I joined the Army, the Royal Irish. Again, it's not really the place for a Christian walk. Again, it was just wild times, partying and whatnot, but that's enough said about that. Then one day, I think it was about 2 years in, this fellow joined my company. He was the same fella. We obviously knew my dad and stuff, and he kept on terrorizing me. Oh, that sounds wrong, but he kept asking me, "Hey, boy, come to church. Come to church." I says, "I'll go and keep him quiet." So that was all right. One night, I went to Whitewell again. And I was all right. That night, I was there just to please him. That's the head of it. I don't even know what it was about, but anyway, I went. But little did I know, God was starting to do a work. That was all right. Went about my own life again for a couple of years. I got a girl pregnant. Again, I thought it was the right thing to do. I said I'll get married. Then I was really, really low. I thought I brought shame on my mum and dad. And we got married. That was all right. It was never there. There was never love. We got married for the wrong reasons. But we got married, had my son, really. That was all right. Again, there was no love. There was nothing there. And I remember I was in South Africa with the Army. Came home. And I just knew something wasn't right. I came home, house was empty. Marriage was over, my child was away. And that's when darkness really entered my life. I was in a really, really low place. To one night, I can remember it so well. I was in my garage, sitting in the corner, crying my eyes out on my own. But, and for some reason when I was there, I remember one thing my dad told me. He'd take you the easy way or the hard way. So that was all right. Again, I went back into the world. I went half mad at this time, but less said the better. But there was always that fella in the company. He kept on my back. I obviously was praying for him, plus my mum and dad. And he finally got me back to Whitewell. And that night we went. There was a different sermon, because all I thought was Pastor McCall was talking to me. There was about 3,000 there, and I goes, "He's talking to me." But that was okay. I went out that night. Didn't make any decisions, didn't change. That was all right. That week, I could not get my head straight. I was obviously under conviction. My heart was pricked. Till I'll never forget, one Wednesday I came home early, went to my bedroom, opened my Bible to this verse. It was Luke 23. Verses 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Well, as I read that them verses, tears filled my eyes. It struck me like a bomb that our Lord and Savior, that just shows his forgiveness. And It's just like the hymn. What was it? I was telling Suzanne how to do this tonight, and I can't even do it. That hymn. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. But there may I, Jeff Annett, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. There and then I got down on my knees, and I asked the Lord to save me. And he did. Psalm 34, verse 4 came alive. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Friends, that was only the beginning. The whole life changed. I know the desires had gone for the world. No desires to go out partying, no desires to go drinking, no desires, nothing, just desiring to seek God. Even the Word of God opened up to me. Before I read through it, goes, it has to be a subtle version for I can't read this. But see, since I got saved and studied His Word and prayed, God opened up my eyes to the Word. Since that, I started running about with, I went to my local church and started running about with a couple of fellas. And with good fellowship. Until one Wednesday night, Andrew came to me and says to me, "What are you doing on Friday night?" I says, "Nothing." He says, "I've got a blind date for you." I said to myself, "What header's this boy got for me?" Praise God, that header's sitting down there tonight. And I'm lying there. So, God is good. God is good. But not only a header, she's a real help to me. Even as we pray together, or read together, and it's good for growth.
Amen.
But tonight, I would urge you, if you don't know our Savior, don't leave it. He is a life changer. Like as the song says, my mistakes He turned into miracles.
Amen.
My tears He turned into joy.
Amen.
That is so true, so true. This is not a gimmick. This is the real deal. God is mighty to save, heal and deliver. No matter what you're going through, seek Him while He may be found. We're in the last days today. Please don't leave it. Please don't leave it. He's a life changer.
Amen.
There is no secret what He can do.
Amen.
And that's just it. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it powerful how God can change lives? That's what Jesus can do. He can take a broken life and He can mend it. And a brother, Jeff and Suzanne, both didn't come about the way people would think. Suzanne had a wee boy. He's here tonight. He's no longer a wee boy. And Jeff, broken marriage, but God transformed them. You know the wonderful thing about this book? This book says that Jesus loves a sinner.
Glory. Amen. That's right.
He loves a sinner.
Amen.
He never came for the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Right.
And I tell you, He is a physician. He fixes lives. He mends lives. And the Lord can take people that's lives are broken. There's a fellow preaching not far from here the night over in Guildford, and he was a drug addict. And the Lord's using him now. He's a preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
Ken Davison. And it's a tremendous testimony how God delivered him. Myself was in jail twice. The Lord delivered me. God can save anybody. And God loves you. No matter what situation you're in. No matter how deep down you think you've went. The Lord loves you. No matter how dark it looks, the Lord loves you. No matter how far away you think you are from God, the Word of God says He's closer than the breath you breathe.
Amen.
The Lord's close to you. The Lord's near you. People could say tonight, "Well, I never did what Suzanne did, and I never did what Jeff done, and never did what he or she done." But the Word of God says everyone has sinned.
Right.
And everyone has come short of the glory of God. But the Lord Almighty God has laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of every one of us. Isn't that wonderful?
Right.
And I just thank God tonight that Jeff and Suzanne have a testimony to give.
Amen.
And it was tremendous how God restored their lives, transformed them.
Amen.
I remember the meeting well in Donna Cloney when Suzanne came. And the wee man that came was Dixon Kandoji. And God used that wee man. 350 churches was started through that one man. From one man, what God used. And he came and he preached, and the Lord really used him when he came here in them days. And I remember that service well, and I knew God was speaking to Suzanne. And you know, God, when God works on you, I tell you, it's tremendous. God gives us a conscience and it's great. And I just want to take a few moments tonight. I won't be any more than 10 minutes, and I mean that. But I just want to share this little short message. And I've entitled this tonight, Taken. And I think your brother John referred this the other week, and I've been thinking about it, and I mentioned it on Wednesday. And brother John mentioned it in his testimony. That the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his people. And he's coming to take his own people home. And there's nothing's going to stop it. For he's coming. And every one of us need to be ready. Prepared for that coming. And the first step of preparation is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first step. You can't jump in any other way, but you must come through Christ. It's like the ark that Noah built. There was one door into it. And the one door in represented Jesus Christ. Like the tabernacle Moses prepared in the wilderness. There was one door in. And the one door in was Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was here on earth, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. By me ye may enter in. In Genesis 5, verse 23 and 4, it says this, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch never knew when he was going to go. But Enoch walked with God. And many people say, we've heard for years that the Lord's coming, but he hasn't come yet. But the coming of the Lord, and I'm not talking about an appearing, I'm not talking about a super sign, I'm talking about the literal, physical return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're going to meet him in the air, and he's going to take his own people.
Amen.
Jesus said, two will be at the mill grinding. One shall be taken. One shall be left. He said two will be in the bed sleeping. One shall be taken and one shall be left. Jesus Christ is coming again. We are living in the last of the last days. The days we're living in, this dispensation of time is almost spent. We're in the very last of the last church age. And God is coming again. And he has appointed the day in which he will judge this world through the man he's appointed, and that man's Jesus Christ. And everyone needs to make preparation. And everyone needs to be prepared. And there's only one way to make that preparation, and that's to know Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Whom to know is life eternal. Suzanne met the Savior. And he transformed her. Jeff met the Savior and he transformed him. Do you know the Savior tonight? That Suzanne and Jeff knows. This Savior's coming again. People pray, we know when the rapture will take place, we know when the Lord will come, we will do this and this and then we'll go. You can't do it. All these things is out of man's control. I want you to know that tonight. These things are sovereign.
Amen.
Enoch walked with God and God took him.
Amen.
365 years he walked with God. We don't know when the Lord will take us, but he's going to come. And the Bible says, suddenly, as a thief in the night, the Lord will come. And I tell you, Jesus tells a parable of it. If the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have sat up and he'd have caught him. But while he was sleeping, the thief came. And Jesus Christ is coming again like a thief in the night. And you need to be ready.
Amen.
You need to be prepared. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I want you to see what God says here to Enoch. God says that he took Enoch. He took him. Enoch never took himself. God took Enoch. And just like the Spirit of God moved in Jeff and Suzanne, they never saved themselves. But God saved them. The Spirit of God moved on them, and the Spirit of God saved them. And the same Spirit of God will come. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord shall descend with heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, thrust up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Jesus Christ is coming again.
Yeah.
My question to you as a minister tonight of the gospel is, are you ready? Are you ready for this event? I want to warn you this evening, if you're not ready for this event, there's a time called the Great Tribulation. The Bible calls it the day of Jacob's trouble. It's a day you never want to enter into. It's a day that you want to escape. The things you're seeing in the world today are nothing compared to that day. Revelations warns us about it. It said it'll be so terrible that people would cry out to God for the rocks to fall on them and kill them. And death will flee from them. Time of great torture. A time of the man of sin being revealed. And the whole world will wander after him, and he will control the affairs of this world. Revelation says no man can buy or sell except they have his mark. And there's people that will never take his mark. Do you know who they are? Revelation tells us those whose names were written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. I want to tell you in this service this evening, God knows you. And he knows your name. And you're already chosen in him from the foundation of the world. But you have to come to that place and that spot for you make a clear decision to accept Jesus Christ as your own Savior. And he'll change you and he'll transform you. Let me read you this. The rapture will take place. The church will be taken home. And then the tribulation will set in. And oh my, we don't want to be here during that time. I don't want to be here in the tribulation. No, God forbid that any of us would ever be here during that time. Because let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's unclean be unclean still. That's what the Bible says. Do you realize the days we're living in? You don't need a poster put up to let you know. The Bible says, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be. We're seeing it today. No more prayer in schools. Men want to be women. Women want to be men. Perversion. Paul says they forsake the natural use of a woman and they burn in lust one towards another. And they work that thing which is unseemly and God gives them over to the reprobate mind. That's the word of God. Now, I would dare say the time will come when you preach against this, you'll be jailed. But I've been there twice before, so I'm not too worried about it.
Amen.
And I mean that.
Glory.
For I won't be changing my sermon.
Amen.
I tell you, my father mentioned the door of the week. People could laugh at it. But you see, where there's a whole program on it, the bulletin on the news the next morning, where the wee girls now have to wear trousers to school. Now what will it be the week following? Will it be the wee boys wearing dresses? The whole thing's a perversion. An absolute perversion. And you say you're preaching hatred, not preaching the truth. God in the beginning made them male and female. There's a difference in a man and a woman. It's not normal that a man wants to be a woman, and it's not normal that a woman wants to be a man. It's perversion. They need to read Revelation. Revelation says, no effeminate, no unclean, no whoremonger, no idolater shall enter the kingdom of God. That's God's word. There has to be a repentance. There has to be a turning from sin and a turning to God. Difference is on, turn to God. Yes, they made mistakes, but they repented and they turned to God. I tell you, there's mercy with the Lord tonight.
Amen.
But you need to turn to them.
Yes.
You need to turn to God with all your heart. You need to turn to God with all your mind. You need to be sincere, deadly sincere. You said it'll never happen. I was in the gym with a fellow the other night. The next day we heard he's in the hospital. Blood clotted the brain. Very fit man. He's in the hospital. And he's not too good tonight. You don't know the moment. No one's guaranteed that you'll see tomorrow. No one's guaranteed that you'll see next week. But if you're saved, you're guaranteed eternity. For him that hath the Son hath life, and that more abundantly. Jesus Christ gives you eternal life.
Amen.
That's the life you need tonight.
Amen.
I tell you, Enoch was taken. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And there's a group of people on the face of the earth tonight, whether people believe it or not, it's never going to change this fact. God is coming for them.
Right.
And he's going to take them.
Amen.
And they're going to go to be with the Lord.
Right.
He's coming again.
Yeah.
I tell you, you don't know when it is. But the word of God says, no man knows the day nor the hour, only the Father. But there's one thing we know tonight, we're in the season. We are in the season of the coming of the Lord. Jesus said, when you see the fig trees blooming and the rest of the trees putting forth the leaves. And we know that the fig tree is a type of Israel. And Israel became a nation in the 60s, and they're a nation now. And Jesus said, when you see that, know that it's at the door even near. The Lord's coming's very near tonight. You say, but I couldn't give up my friends. I want to say this, and I'm almost finished. I told you I'd be 10 minutes, and I'm going to stick till it. I would be ashamed of the things I've done in my life. But I thank God he saved me. But I want to tell you young people something this night. All the people that you think they're your great pals and friends that's in the world, they will drop you like a hot spud. And they'll let you down. And when you're at your weakest, and when you're at your weariest, you won't find them. They won't be near you. And I know what I'm talking about. When I ended up in jail, my big pals were nowhere. Nowhere at all. But I want you to know that the Lord Jesus, he came to me. He was near. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Though I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Are you right with God tonight? Young person in this service, are you right with God tonight? Are you really saved? Backslider in this meeting tonight, where are you tonight? Are you ready for this great event? When the Lord comes to take those that's ready. Enoch was ready, mind you. Enoch was prepared. But the word of God says, Enoch walked with God. And the Bible has warned us that we must walk in the light. Epistle of John, as he is in the light. God wants his people to walk with him. Doesn't want us to walk with the world. He wants us to walk with him, and he's going to take us. Maybe you're saved, but you're backslidden, and you're in this service, and the Lord's speaking to you tonight. Get yourself right. How will I do it, preacher? If you come to Jesus, you stand with open arms. When the prodigal son come back to the father's house, he said, go and get the fatted calf and the best robe and bring it and put it on him. And the other father wasn't too happy. And the Lord said, go and do it. For my son was lost, but now he's alive. Let us stand to our feet tonight. And maybe the musicians could come. Let us just close our eyes for a moment this evening. And I said I wouldn't keep you as long, and I won't. But I want you to consider these things tonight. I want you really to consider them. When you read the book of Psalms, you come across a wee word almost near and loads of the chapters, Selah. That word means think on this, meditate upon it. I want you to really give deep consideration tonight for your standing. Are you right with God? Are you ready to meet God? If Christ were to come to take his people tonight, would you be ready? If you're maybe a professional Christian, but you know you're not, we are, God can restore you. He can restore the joy. With every head bowed in this house and every eye closed, there's somebody in this room tonight, and you would say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want you to lift your hand up to the Lord, and I'll pray for you tonight. There's one in this meeting. God bless you, son. Is anyone else tonight? And if you're too embarrassed, I want you, after the service, if you want to stay and see me or one of the elders or one of the brothers, I want you not to leave here, but to do that. But I wanted to make sure that you're right with God tonight. And I'm closing. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you this evening for the testimonies of saving grace and keeping power. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, for we know your word will not return void. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll give deciding grace to each one in this room tonight. Bless the young man that's raised his hand up. Give him courage and strength. Restore him and do for him whatever he needs tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, your words told us that it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we thank you that the door's open tonight. And the invitation's clear. Bless now your words to their heart, and bless the remainder of this service. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless each one. Just before brother comes, don't forget Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, those that are to be baptized. The Christian baptism are going up to Dungannon for a baptism. There's at least 2 young men to be baptized. If there's any more, you're welcome to come. We'll baptize you in true Christian baptism. You're welcome to come if you meet at my house at 6 o'clock. See myself or Brother Ian or one of the other brothers, and we'll get you a lift if you need a lift. And even young people, if you've never been baptized and you're believing in the Lord, come forward and get baptized in true Christian baptism. Don't hold back. Go all out for Jesus, for the world goes all out for the devil. God bless every one of you.
Thank you.